such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito, along with my co-host Loretta Freilich. We are sitting in today for Father Anthony, as we do pretty much every Monday here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ, now carried by the Eternal World Television Network, EWTN Radio Network. So we're very pleased to be part of the EWTN family now and greet all of our listeners, old and new. We have an exciting, scintillating hour for you ahead, as we always do every week. Miss Loretta, how was your weekend?
My weekend was fabulous, Mary.
Good.
I even
praise
caught
God.
Some beach time.
Did you? Good.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
Good
it was
you.
A gorgeous day.
Man, this is, I tell you, remarkable weather that we're having for the end of September. It was sweater weather for a while there.
There you go.
As the Saturday Night Live ladies would call it, sweater weather. And but then that went away very quickly. Now we're back to summer weather. For those of you, we talk a lot about the weather if you're a new listener to the show, because we live in Chicago and it's always up for grabs, and no one
there
knows what's going to happen. So high 80s today, so no drinking that pumpkin spice latte today. It will not taste right if it's over 80 degrees, in my opinion.
I'm one of those people that think pumpkin lattes never taste right.
Are you not
right?
A pumpkin spice latte?
You I know am what's, not. I,
you know, and please, listeners, don't anybody email me about not buying things from Starbucks. It's just, we're not part of, I'm not technically part of the boycott, though I don't appreciate a lot of their corporate policies. However, I do go there for an occasional coffee. But you know what's really good? They have this new apple crisp macchiato. Instead of the pumpkin spice latte, it is like drinking an apple pie. It is very tasty. But the hot one is not as good as the cold one is. The cold one is much preferable.
I'm black.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You just
straight
do the black
up.
Straight. Oh,
yep.
Boy. Yeah. Well, that's probably better for your budget and your waistline, because there's a lot of sugar in those drinks. But at any rate.
Yes. How about you, Mir? How was your weekend?
You know, let me think. It was good. It was productive. We got some things done. I had one of my daughters was in from college for a couple of days, and we took her back to the airport. And my husband saw a coyote walking down our street when he was out for his early morning walk. So that was a little bit of a family adventure, trying to track the coyote until the police could catch up with it. I mean, that can be really, you know, people are walking small dogs, or you let your cat out, or you've got a 2-year-old playing in the driveway. As happened to us one time, my daughter was out playing with her sidewalk chalk, and a coyote walked within feet of her. That was terrifying,
that
I have to say.
Scary.
That was because, you know, they normally, from what I understand, they don't react unless you provoke them first. But by the same token, you know, a 2-year-old is going to throw chalk at somebody, you know, or something. So that really did frighten me. So
Your sweet daughter might have beckoned that coyote to come on over and let her pet him.
Right, exactly. Here, eat some chalk, coyote. Yeah, because like our dog ate the whole box of Crayola crayons. But speaking of nature and wildlife, mm-hmm. and accidents, my former pastor posted something on Facebook. Actually, I mean, this is the stuff nightmares are made of, as far as I'm concerned, because I have an irrational fear of bees and wasps and things. But he, prior to joining his Dominican community, was a beekeeper. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he grew up in rural Nebraska, and the family kept bees and sold honey and things. So he has one hive. He's a chaplain at a college in the Midwest somewhere, I'll say it generically. And he didn't realize his beekeeper suit had, you know, a tear in the back of it. So he was harvesting the honey from a hive, and a swarm of bees went into his beekeeper suit.
Oh, my.
And he was stung all over the lips, the face.
Oh.
Primarily his face and his head were more than 100 bee stings. And thank goodness the other Dominican priest who drove him to the emergency room had the presence of mind to give him a couple of Benadryl. So
yes.
He gulped those down. And then at the emergency room, they knew exactly what to do. But that could have turned out very differently. And they anointed him. And so there he was with all, I mean, I can't think of anything more terrifying. That is just, and he's such a careful, I mean, he's been doing this for 40 years.
Sure.
With the family's bees first and now his own hives. And that was like, talk about God's providence and, you know, people who knew, because he's serving in a more rural area,
sure.
They treat that kind of stuff more regularly
sure.
than you would in you know. Although there was a time when my husband was a little boy and decided it would be a good idea to put a big wad of chewing gum on a baseball bat and then try and plug up a hornet's nest.
Oh.
And that did also not end well. So, though I don't think he was stung 100 times because he was, you know, able to run and stuff. But anyway, I just can't think of anything more like Hitchcock-like than being attacked by a swarm of bees like that.
No. Wow.
Isn't that horrifying?
It is. It's
so,
very
okay,
scary.
So, well, enough of our wildlife stories. Animal stories with Loretta and Mary. Actually, we should stop laughing because we have something.
Well, we got a bee's nest to talk about today.
Now that's a transition. Do we have a hornet's nest
we're going
to kick today?
Yes.
Oh, listeners, I know you come for the substance, you stay for the laughs, don't you? So what we're going to talk about today is a situation that is ongoing at a high school in the Chicagoland area, although not located within the Archdiocese of Chicago. It is a diocesan school in the Diocese of Joliet. It's not a diocesan school. It's a religious order school run by the Benedictines. It's called Bennett Academy, surprisingly. It's run by the Benedictines. And really, probably in the Chicagoland area, there are four or five of the Catholic schools that are really considered very prestigious. They have entrance exams. You have to test in. They reject a significant number of kids every year. So Bennett Academy is one of them, along with, you know, the Jesuit schools, Ignatius and Loyola, and Fenwick High School, the Dominican School. And, you know, there's a smattering of others that are at that level of competition. But Bennett is kind of where very affluent families would send their kids, but also families with kids that are really, really bright, because academically it's considered one of the best schools probably in the Midwest. So very, very prestigious, yeah.
They have a reputation for excellence, and alum are very proud to say they attended Bennett.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a big deal.
You know, and it's a high school, and yet they remained very proud of what they accomplished and how they transitioned into the adult world through the Bennett Academy.
And it's sort of known for its excellence, not just in academics, but also in athletics and in the performing arts and in student formation and in service to others. I mean, they really do strive to educate the whole person. And of course, you know, it's expected that the teachers and the administrators and others who are representing the school in a paid capacity and in a formal ministerial capacity would be people who are authentically living out the Catholic faith in their lives. I know, shocker, right? Like we would actually expect. And if they're not, that would be something that they would keep private, and they would not publicize that to the students for the sake of not causing scandal.
Sure.
As in the way the church talks about the word scandal, not to give scandal and not to lose their jobs.
Right.
Because, you know, it's interesting whenever we talk about this kind of, do employees have to abide by church teaching if they work for the church? If you talk to your evangelical friends or, say, Missouri Synod Lutheran friends, they almost always have to sign something before they take on a job. First of all, affirming that they believe in the faith that they are going to be teaching or living out, you know, at an evangelical school or a Missouri Synod Lutheran school. So first of all, you have to sign an affirmation of faith. Generally, it's something like the Nicene Creed or something akin to
sure.
it. And that you will not lead a life that is in contrast to what is expected in the Gospels and to the Ten Commandments, including areas of human sexuality. So, you know, you talk to, like, I remember telling an evangelical Christian friend who worked for an evangelical, kind of like a social service agency, but not a church, but nevertheless very strongly evangelical in character, that there were a couple of people I worked with who I knew did not did not affirm or support or believe in the Catholic Church's teaching on abortion. And he was dumbfounded. And I don't forget, he looked at me, he goes, wait, you guys hire people who don't agree with you? Like, you don't, why do you do that? And I, you know, I said, I don't know. That's a very good question. And because even if those people, I remember there was, you know, I hate to tell tales outside of school, but someone, and the person had a significant influence on different, you know, aspects of how we did our work every day. And this person was adamantly opposed to the church's teaching on contraception, adamantly, and would voice that at meetings. And it was just, you know, to the point that the people who were just trying to live out their faith and supporting it and supporting the church's mission were kind of ostracized and, you know, kind of sidelined. And it was, and I thought this should not be. We really should be hiring people who support each other in the mission. It's not right. And yeah. And it's bad for the esprit de corps, et cetera, et cetera.
I hear you.
So,
and you know, it also sends a double message, because as you look at the facts of what happened at Bennett in early September, the lacrosse coach was given she was hired. And the very next day, she filled out her emergency contact paperwork.
Okay.
In which she listed her wife.
Right.
And then the school rescinded the offer.
Right.
Apparently it went to a board meeting for the school. So those individuals that take care of, you know, that have a direct administrative responsibility on the mission,
right,
and identity of,
right,
the school, the board members.
Right. They have a fiduciary duty to the parents, yes, and to the school community.
Yes. So the board members then chose to rescind that contract. And then I'm not quite sure where it went, but it looks like...
Well, she lawyered up. Well, so this lacrosse coach, Amanda Kames is her name, and I can say it because she has filed public documents, and she has,
right,
been... So this is not... I'm not revealing something that has been meant to be kept confidential. She lawyered up, and within 24 hours, the board caved and hired her back.
But, you know, I can't really see a correlation between her lawyering up much as I see the correlation, the kids went crazy.
Some of the kids went crazy.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
And some parents, and it was on the news.
Right.
And there were signs.
Right.
And everybody wanted her hired. But the part I find sort of, you know, unusual for Bennett Academy is the courts have pretty much upheld the ministerial exception.
Yep.
Where, you know, if this person's not in accordance with your ministry, you know, your ministry,
right,
goals and objectives, you know, you have this exception to say thank you, but no thank you.
Right. And they also, at the Supreme Court, at the Supreme Court level, in the, pardon me, the Our Lady of Guadalupe case that was just decided about 6 months ago, not only is the ministerial exception upheld, but the church is the one who decides who its ministers are and who they aren't. And, I'm almost speaking verbatim from the Guadalupe case, but essentially the court said it is not the place of the Supreme Court to tell a religious body who its ministers are and who they aren't. If they,
right,
say they're ministers, and we're not going to, that's a violation of the separation of church and state, is a court deciding who is a minister and who is not.
Right.
And in the Catholic tradition, we have long considered our teachers. Parents are the primary educators in the faith of their children, and teachers are the supposed to be the extension of that.
Yes.
Affirming and upholding what the child is supposed to be getting at home if they're being raised by Catholic parents who are,
right,
practicing. So it's not unjust discrimination for Bennett to refrain from hiring a coach, a lacrosse coach, who has, through a public act, she has done something through a public act. Again, we got to distinguish a public act versus private behavior that no one knows about.
Right.
So she has engaged in a public act to enter into a public relationship the church cannot recognize.
Correct.
And, you know, you and I were talking about a little bit about this offline. There are certain weddings that Catholics cannot attend. And one of those weddings would be a same-sex wedding. You are barred under pain of sin from attending a same-sex wedding. You also cannot go to a wedding for a heterosexual couple if one of the two getting married is defecting from the church through that marriage.
Right.
So if you have someone who is divorced, they do not have an annulment, you can't go, and that person decides to remarry in a Protestant church, say, you can't go to that wedding as a Catholic, because you would be giving an affirmation to someone who was engaging in a public defection from the faith.
Right.
So there was a big hullabaloo, and that continues. And, you know, we have really seen, it's very interesting to see the reaction. One of the things we're waiting on is to see whether or not the Diocese of Joliet or Bishop Ronald Hicks says anything to Bennett or makes any kind of statement or takes any kind of action whatsoever. When there was a similar situation in Indianapolis where you had two gay men who had entered into a civil marriage, again, a public act by which they themselves defect from the faith. So Ms. Kamms, by her engaging in a lesbian wedding, has publicly defected from the faith. She is not eligible to receive the Eucharist if she is, you know, married to her partner. She cannot be a godmother. She cannot be a confirmation sponsor. I mean, there are certain, if you want to live your life in that way, there are certain ramifications that will come because of that. And so if she went to Bennett, and if she paid attention at all during her religion and theology classes, she would know that there are certain things, certain actions that you take that separate you from the Christian community. And entering into a public union that the church cannot recognize is one of them.
Exactly. And, you know, Mary, I really think Bennett missed an incredible opportunity teach the faith.
Yes.
And, you know, I applaud the young people for having passion and wanting to stand up for their coach that they felt wrongfully dismissed. But what if they were to take that same passion and put it into the faith?
Yeah.
Put it into, you know, the acts of social justice that are available to young people at all the schools, especially within the Catholic schools. It's part of your education. And here, those that know the dogma of the church understand the importance of the faith and in passing it on. And I believe it's even in the Bennett handbook that they are required to pass on the faith, that that's one of their missions and their goals. And here, you don't have to agree with it if you're a student at Bennett, but you at least are exposed to the truth.
Right. Well, you know, this is interesting because there's a parallel case I was starting to talk about in Indianapolis where two gay men who had married each other civilly, both taught at Catholic high schools, one at a diocesan archdiocese of Indianapolis, one at an archdiocesan high school, the other at the Jesuit high school, the local Jesuit high school there called Brebeuf Jesuit Preparatory School. And the contract was not renewed after it was discovered that they had entered into this marriage. They disclosed that. Again, no one's going on a witch hunt in people's bedrooms. But when you enter into a public act and make a public stand, that's very different. That's very different because you are essentially proclaiming with your life that you do not accept the church's teachings, you do not intend to live by them, and you don't abide them. So in the case of Indianapolis, the archbishop there removed the ability of Brebeuf Jesuit High School to be called a Catholic school. So the school can no longer be recognized as a Catholic school. And the archbishop released a statement saying, all those who minister in Catholic education and at Catholic institutions carry out an important ministry in communicating the fullness of the Catholic teaching to students both by word and by actions inside and outside the classroom. In the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, every archdiocesan Catholic school and private Catholic school has been instructed to clearly state in contracts and in ministerial job descriptions that all ministers must convey and be supportive of all the teachings of the Catholic Church. And teachers, they said, are classified as ministers because, and I'm quoting here from the statement, it is their duty and privilege to ensure that students receive instruction in Catholic doctrine and practice to effectively bear witness to Christ, whether they teach religion or not. All ministers in their professional and private lives must convey and be supportive of Catholic Church teaching. And regrettably, Brebeuf Jesuit has freely chosen not to enter into the agreement that protects the ministry of communicating the fullness of the Catholic teaching to its students. Therefore, it will no longer be recognized as a Catholic institution by the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So they took a very firm stand. The Diocese of Joliet has not yet done that to Bennett Academy, but I don't see how Bennett Academy goes forward and calls itself Catholic.
I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, I really think it is misleading Catholic parents who send their children thinking they're going to be taught the Catholic faith, and then they come out thinking that, you know, gay marriage is somehow a good way to live your life,
right,
that Christ would approve of.
Right.
And this is not to judge gay men and gay women. Far from it.
Far from it.
This is not about this woman. This is about the school. This is about what the school is doing. And I'm shocked that the school caved the way it did. However, I also understand, you know, from not firsthand experience, but knowing people who have been subject to this, the power of the cancel culture and the way in which people who dare to question this marriage orthodoxy, they dare to question it, how they can be completely, completely publicly humiliated,
yes,
death threats, you know, calls to boycott the school, everything else. But we're going to go to our first break, listeners, so please do stay tuned. We're going to continue to discuss this issue at Bennett Catholic Academy in Lisle, Illinois, and its decision not to rescind the contract for a lacrosse coach who had entered into a same-sex relationship. So this is Mary Fiorito sitting in with Loretta Fralick here today on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
Here are two new books from EWTN Publishing. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life, from the nun who made it her life's work to instruct millions. This volume assembles her most profound and timeless advice on how you can grow in holiness and achieve your ultimate purpose, to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni. How to explain and defend Catholic teaching using common sense, simple logic, and the Bible. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life and Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni. Available now at EWTNRC.com. My Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com.
And welcome back. Sorry for that moment of dead air. This is Mary Fiorito along with my co-host, Loretta Fralick. And we are here on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI. I will get that down eventually.
It's a big mouthful, Mary.
It is. It's a lot to remember. A lot of letters and numbers and...
But, you know, we were talking about the Bennett case.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, I really look at an aspect that may not have been addressed. And I know we've talked about it.
What's that?
But it's the parents.
Yeah.
I mean, Lisle and Bennett Academy draws from a very influential, you know, some
yes.
would say wealthy.
Right. So, listeners, if you're not familiar with the area, it would be sort of... upper middle class to middle class suburbs,
right,
with generally very, very good public school systems,
yes,
and very high property taxes to go along with those very good public school systems.
So when you have the choice of a good Catholic school at cost to you,
right,
or a taxpayer-funded school that is equally as excellent.
Academically,
right, yes.
And free.
And you've already paid for it.
Right.
With your property
right.
taxes.
And you're paying for it every
and
year.
And now you make the choice to send your child to Bennett.
Right.
What's the responsibility of the school to these parents?
Exactly.
And these parents signed up for a Catholic education.
Right.
And now this board has just folded.
Right.
And really has done, you know, damn it. If my child were in that school, he'd no longer, or she would no
We'd
longer be
them
in
out.
That
yeah,
school.
Yeah, and that's what a number of prominent alumni are calling for, parents who have students, you know. I know that's difficult to do for the parents of seniors, but for everyone else, the school is no longer what it advertises to be.
Amen.
It is no longer proclaiming the Catholic faith.
Yes.
Day in and day out.
And truly, it's not because they hired a gay lacrosse coach.
Yeah.
It is because they have failed to live up to their Catholic identity,
right.
Which is what we are calling, what we're all called to do. But especially, we're forming these children to go out
right.
into a secular world that could give a rat's patoot about the Catholic faith.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like what you said, talking about the missed opportunity, because I think, you know, you are really striking at the heart of this. Because what could have been such a teaching moment.
Yes.
Do you remember Justice Alito's dissent in the Obergefell case? I'll draw it up while
Please
we're chatting.
Please do, Mary,
yes,
because you don't read Supreme Court opinions.
Okay, I do. I'm one of those people that do.
In my spare time.
So you have two lawyers here. Loretta was a criminal prosecutor for many years, and I was a constitutional law geek. So we don't have the same reading habits. Let's just put it to you that way.
If it's about a criminal act, I'm
that's
there.
That's right. Well, that's true. If it's Miranda rights, Loretta's all over it. But no, Justice Alito had a really talk about prophetic word in his dissent. And he talked about how right now, you know, the day Obergefell was decided, we're simply talking about, you know, and the gay community is simply talking about, we just want to live our lives privately. Just leave us alone. Let us get married. We want the benefits, tax-wise and otherwise, that flow from being married. This isn't going to affect anybody else. And Alito says, the heck it is. This is going to affect lots of other people. And it's going to go from just simply tolerating another form of marriage, redefining marriage from what it had always been, which was the union of a man and a woman, who have the capacity to procreate. I mean, the only reason that the federal government and state governments got involved in marriage in the first place was because it was a conjugal union that could result in children, and you needed to legally bind those children to two adults to take care of them.
Amen.
So that they would, that's why the court got involved in marriage, not because love is love, not because the court cares about who you're romantically entwined with. That is not the government's role,
right,
to be affirming whatever your current love interest has to be. That is not the role of government. The role of government is to stabilize the basic units of society, like the family, and to make sure that children are properly cared for by their parents. That's the only reason the court got involved. Now it's morphed into marriage is just what love is, and love is love. And, you know, frankly, I mean, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but after Obergefell, I do not know how you tell polygamous marriages that they can't exist. If marriage is not about a conjugal union that can result in children, and it's just about love, how can you tell them that under the Constitution, they do not have a right to be in a polygamous marriage? To me, it's astounding, and I'm surprised there hasn't been a case. That's going to be next. I mean, we are going to have, you have to acknowledge and legally recognize polygamous marriages if you recognize gay ones, because it's not, the definition of marriage has completely changed.
Absolutely.
So since this redefinition of marriage, Alito argues in his dissent, this is going to go from, you know, just leaving another group of people alone and letting them be married to, you know, whispers about certain groups of people that don't accept gay marriage at cocktail parties. And then it's going to morph from there into institutions that don't believe in this particular new view of marriage or redefinition of marriage, that it's going to result in litigation and turmoil and the dividing of a society. And he was absolutely right. I'll try and pull it up at the next break and maybe read some excerpts from it. But it is really, it was absolutely prophetic. And he was 100% spot on correct, because this is the result, right?
Right.
I want to go back just briefly to Archbishop Thompson, the Archbishop of Indianapolis, to his statement, because he really, this was a very, very well thought out and written in love and charity statement. No one has a right to a ministerial position, but once they are called to serve in a ministerial role, they must lead by word and example. And as ministers, they must convey and be supportive of the teachings of the Catholic Church. Those expectations are clearly spelled out in school ministerial job descriptions and contracts so that everyone understands their obligations. When a person is not fulfilling their obligations as a minister of the faith within a school, church and school leadership address the situation by working with that person to find a path of accompaniment that will lead to a resolution in accordance with church teaching. So, you know, again, you see the charity. This is not, we just don't want to deprive people of their liberties and their livelihood and then dump them out the door. We will accompany with you to resolve this. But here's the difference. I was kind of trying to explain this to a secular friend. The difference is that, say, for example, the matter that I discussed, the example that I gave earlier on in the show, where we talked about a couple who, say, one party has been previously married and they don't have their annulment and they marry outside the church in a different faith denomination, but they're Catholics. That has a remedy to it, as we would say. And there's a remedy to that. You can get your annulment and then have your marriage validated by the church. And I think this is what the Archbishop means by accompaniment. They can help you. We can have someone at the school, someone at the diocese sit down with you, work through the annulment papers yes. with you, and then arrange for your convalidation. So there's a remedy. With a same-sex marriage, there's no remedy in the moral law. You can't remedy that.
Right.
You either must separate and live chastely or simply do not mention that relationship publicly. But that's very difficult to do when you have a spouse. It would be very hard for me to hide my husband and my children, you know? I mean, I don't mean to be flippant, but I can't be specific, but I know of a number of different situations. I know of more than one in which there was a Catholic administrator, Catholic high school administrator, a couple of Catholic high school teachers who were cohabiting with their opposite sex boyfriends or girlfriends. So again, heterosexual relationships, they were living with them, which I think was suspected, but again, no one goes snooping around and, you know.
They're not following them home.
They're
from
not following them home. There's no private investigators looking for you. But, you know, when you show up at the school Christmas party and say, oh, you know, we're living together with my girlfriend, then, yeah, that's going to result in your termination. And it did in every one of those cases. Or we had another person who was on the weekends serving as a clinic escort at a Planned Parenthood on Chicago's Southwest Side. And she tried to make the argument she wasn't really a minister and it was her volunteer work on her own free time and it didn't really matter. And the school said, and the archdiocese said, no, nice try, but no, you are in your public and private life, you are doing something that is causing such scandal yes. that you cannot be called a minister and a person who's a reflection of the Catholic faith. I don't know how somebody works in a Catholic school and thinks that anything Planned Parenthood, I don't care if she was over there teaching girls how to braid their hair. You can't have anything to do with the number one provider of abortions in our country.
No. So. And you know, the other thing, too, that you talked about where, you know, the church has a remedy and that there is no remedy in this situation with the Bennett Academy. Something I'm a little confused about. Did she go to Bennett at one point
she did.
In
she's
her
a Bennett,
career?
She's a Bennett. She's a Bennett graduate, yeah.
So she's a Bennett alum. So at some point, she had an opportunity to learn the faith and what was right and what was wrong. So in some ways, she's, I think, complicit in causing all this chaos.
Oh, no, she absolutely is.
And,
absolutely. I
you know,
agree
this
with you.
This is just really upsetting to me because she should know the rules of the Catholic faith. And,
yeah.
you know, I find it amazing that she's taking this stand. And, you know, it was, I wonder what the... I mean, what was the catalyst that caused all these students and parents to rise up? And again, what were the numbers? I always wonder when the camera goes in real tight. It looks like you've got a lot of people, but I mean, was it 10? Was it 20? Was it 50?
Yeah.
I mean, who are all these people suddenly?
On the news station, you know, they tried to have the camera angle so it looked like there were hundreds of people there. My understanding from someone very close to the situation is there were only a couple of dozen, if that.
Wow.
And but there has been, you know, what happens anytime any person dares to say, listen, I don't agree that two men and two women have something that's called a marriage. I don't agree. My faith does not teach me that. That is not to say two people of the same sex cannot love each other, that they cannot be good family members, good husbands, or sorry, not husbands, but sons and brothers and cousins and everything else
Absolutely.
And uncles. That is not to condemn them as people, but what they have is not a marriage as the church understands it. And the behavior, and this is kind of where it gets a little touchy, but you know, that same-sex sexual relations are sinful. I mean, that is. I mean, you know, you are a great studier of the scripture. You know that as well as I do. And this was something that was simply not questioned. It was simply not questioned.
Right. And it's not the homosexual that is disordered. It's the homosexual act that is disordered.
Correct.
And we love our brothers and sisters in the homosexual community. We do not want to see any discrimination against them. But again, who made this the lacrosse coach star? I mean, is she that good a lacrosse player?
Well, yeah, this was, but my guess is, kind of knowing about other situations that are somewhat similar, that there were a number of different activist groups because, you know, they're looking for test cases, groups like the Human Rights Campaign and other groups, really to compel Catholic schools and other institutions like Evangelical Christians or Missouri Synod Lutherans to compel us to fire to hire and not be able to fire those who do not live within the sexual ethical teachings of our church. That is the end game, and after that, the next end game will be having to perform those marriages in our churches. And I have a friend who's a Catholic deacon, also an attorney, also a judge, who at one point said to me he used to do marriages, civil marriages, but won't do them anymore because he said once I do them, I can't recuse myself from marrying a same-sex couple, so I'm just not going to do them anymore. And, you know, you see this. But what he said to me is he thinks that the church should get out of the marriage business altogether and do it like they do in Mexico, where you civilly marry first and then you have your sacramental marriage. But the minister, the sacramental minister, so for example, the priest or the deacon, is not the agent of the state, which is what the current situation is. So
Ireland, too. They get married in the courthouse.
Right.
And then you have your sacramental.
Right. So that the church is not going to be put in a position where, you know, it's going to have to litigate not to marry gay couples in the church. And so that's the end game. And, you know, I had the privilege of meeting Jack Phillips from the Masterpiece Cake Shop, Brouhaha and Case. And, I mean, what a remarkable man. And, you know, just kind of what you've read in the paper about him, you're expecting, you know, this very strong-willed, outspoken man, and he is exactly the opposite. He is very soft-spoken, gentlemanly. You can tell that, you know, he's a person who works in the creative arts, and his art is cake decorating and cake making,
sure,
which he had done for years and years. And just a little backstory for those of you all know, there was a gay couple who came in, male gay couple, wanted him to do the wedding cake. He said, I don't do those, closed his book. He said it was literally a 2-minute conversation when he realized what they wanted. He said, oh, I don't do those. And that was it.
Didn't he refer them to some?
You know, I can't remember if he said I can give you, but, you know,
sure.
Denver, Colorado, there's plenty of bakeries. They're all
kidding.
Over the place. Yes, I
really?
Know. Shocking. And shocking that they picked the one evangelical Christian baker. But he was well known in the community for not doing all sorts of different cakes. He didn't do stag party cakes.
Doesn't do Halloween cakes.
He does not do Halloween cakes. He doesn't do divorce cakes. That's a thing where you get a cake and then you like cut it in half. And then, yeah, that's a thing now, divorce cakes. He doesn't do those. So he wasn't singling out the gay couple. And he said, no, I don't do those, in the same way he would have said to, you know,
the mom for the Halloween party.
Right, exactly.
I don't
wanted,
do those.
You know, a graveyard cake with a ghost popping out of it or something. I don't do those. That's
right.
Just, he just didn't do them.
Right.
And he has every right not to do it. He got death threats.
Oh, I know.
He, you know, the Colorado Human Rights Commission fined him and sued him. And he was telling us, I met him privately, but then I also met him, you know, listened to the talk that he gave at a Lutheran church. I was visiting, and he talked about one death threat that was so specific. I mean, it's like a SVU episode, you know,
mm-hmm.
where I said the caller was saying, I can see where you're standing right now, and you have a blue shirt on, and I can see your little grandson. And and his 4-year-old grandson, he had to hide him in a sack of flour or something like that till the police got there. And he was almost in tears. That's
sure.
when he's like, that's when, you know, this is what the gospel, living the gospel, has cost this poor man. So, well, we'll continue the conversation on the other side of the break. This is Mary Fiorito, along with my co-host, Loretta Fralick, and we're sitting in for Father Anthony on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
The 911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the Blue Mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org, ststanschicago.org.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today with Loretta Frelick, my co-host and co-conspirator here on Winds of Change.
Mary.
That's right. On EWTN's new Catholic radio voice for the Chicagoland area. We are on AM 750 on WNDZ and on 88.5 FM on WFSI. What a privilege it is to join the family of EWTN radio stations for this show. So
it really is, Mary.
Isn't it a blessing?
And I'm telling you, it's kind of exciting to join the radio station, the radio family that Rita Rizzo created as Mother Angelica.
It's so funny. I've just sort of been thinking about, you know, about Mother Angelica, who, as you mentioned, was the founder of the EWTN empire, as it were, the television and radio network. And how, you know, my goodness, she started in a garage with no money, and, you know, and God really used her.
Didn't he?
Used her tremendously. And she allowed herself to be used, but thank goodness, you know, she reaches, you know, she has gone to be with the Lord now, but still her station and its wonderful programming reaches millions of people every day all over the world. So,
amen.
But I want to, you know, I want to get to, a really, really good letter that, someone I know who is the parent of a current Bennett student as well as a Bennett graduate, has been very involved in the school as a parent, along with his spouse, and so they have a lot of vested interest and very good, serious, faithful Catholic family. And he wrote an excellent letter that I'm going to read some. I hope you don't mind me reading, listeners, but this letter was so, so brilliantly done. I told my friend, you know, I think the Holy Spirit was really working through you, and I'm grateful that you took the time, because this was obviously a letter that a lot of time and effort and heart and soul went into
right.
it. So,
and for as divisive an issue.
Yes, this was very courageous
well
to do this.
Reasoned, yeah. And it had a calming effect.
Did
to
it?
The situation.
Yeah.
Yes,
so,
I thought so.
Okay, well,
I was all fired up as I thought about it, and then as I read his letter, I thought this was really...
No, it's very, I don't want to say unemotionally written, because there's obviously a strong feeling behind it, but it's very practical.
Yes.
I think it removes some of the heat and adds light, rather. So it sheds light rather than adding heat, and which is always a great thing to have when you're talking about a controversial thing. But so let me just, we've talked for 3 minutes about the letter. Let me just read you some excerpts. This person has asked to remain anonymous for reasons you can all probably guess. Tensions are so high at that school, and the fault lines are so deep that it you don't want to have ramifications for other people who, through no fault of their own, could be, you know, attacked or assaulted or, you know, get death threats like poor Jack Phillips did. So he wrote to the leadership at Bennett, "The crisis surrounding Bennett's decision not to hire Amanda Kams as the school girls' lacrosse coach is an existential one for Bennett Academy. There is no pain-free way through this crisis. If the school stands firm by its decision, there will be parents who will not send their children to Bennett and donors who will not give to the school. And if Bennett reverses itself, there will be parents who do not send their children to Bennett and also donors who will not give to the school. There are costs either way. But this crisis is more than financial. It is an existential crisis concerning Bennett's identity as a Catholic and Benedictine institution. If Bennett caves into the demands of those seeking to hire Ms. Cams, Bennett will have lost its Catholic identity, and it will no longer be able to authentically claim that it is Catholic and that it seeks to share the truth of the faith and the joy of the gospel in everything it does. A person who publicly lives outside of the moral teachings of the church on matters of human sexuality and marriage cannot model for students the truth and virtues that Bennett seeks to instill in its students. Moreover, if it hires Ms. Camps, there will be no limiting principle. This is really critical. No limiting principle going forward. The school will have no basis for refusing to hire anyone in the future who dissents from the church on grave matters of moral teaching. There will be no principled way it can refuse to hire a qualified teacher or coach who works weekends at a clinic escort for women seeking abortions at Planned Parenthood. In addition, in the very near future, Bennett will hear calls for the school to instruct its students in ways of thinking about profound moral questions involving sexuality and other matters that contradict what the church has held and always has held to be true. The same arguments now heard about a lack of compassion, about a failure to respect the conscience of others, will be heard again, only now demanding curricular changes. And when that happens, the example of hiring Ms. Camps will be put forward as normative. See, we can make changes and still remain Catholic. But then the Catholicism that Bennett portrays will be an empty shell. Bennett will still have the decorative ornamentation of Catholicism, but not the substance of the faith. I urge you to uphold Bennett's Catholic and Benedictine identity with integrity and hold firm to the decision you have made concerning Ms. Camps. I have attached, he had added an attachment with some other thoughts on how to best get themselves out of this situation. And I think he is right and honest to acknowledge that there's no easy way out of such a tense situation, and made more tense by activist groups and the media. Here you have a Catholic school just trying to exist as a Catholic school, and you have outside groups like, you know, gay rights groups and things like that intervening to try to force a Catholic school to violate its conscience, its institutional conscience. But the changes, the other changes that he's talking about, have already started to occur. I've been kind of following some different Facebook posts. Of course, you knew this would happen. Now there's going to be a list of demands put forward by this group and other students. For example, they want non-binary uniforms.
Wait till they find out how uncomfortable non-binary uniforms.
I mean, you know,
those khaki pants are the worst.
And they, guess what? They don't flatter anybody. They look ugly no matter who wears them.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how thin you are, if you've got a few extra pounds. They manage to make everyone look bad.
You really want
this non-binary school uniforms. And then on to other things. They want a pride flag flying in the school. They want, you know, so already there's going to be, push now. And the school now has no leg to stand
they
on.
They got nothing.
No.
And, you know, when I, years back, I taught youth groups. And it was really my privilege. And kids will push the envelope. These were high school kids. And I'd let them freely discuss. But at the conclusion of the evening, it was my responsibility as the youth leader to say, this may be how all of you feel about abortion, but this is what your church teaches you and why.
Right.
And so, you know, I often think of those evenings when we would gather, and this was such a teachable opportunity that has gone.
Yeah.
You could teach the kids. You could bring in excellent teachers from, like Ascension Press.
Right.
Like that Father Mike Schmidt is, and I have, you know, I work their confirmation program with my students now. There are some priests that are teaching the sisters out of Nashville. There are priests and religious and lay people that are teaching the faith in a fun, engaging way. Spend the money, bring those people in, teach the kids the truth, but also have a parent night. Let the parents be exposed to the same excellent teaching so that
You still may disagree.
Right.
You still may want to go forward, but at least you have been presented the Catholic teaching in an engaging, fun way. Well, now you just have anger and dissension.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you need to make parents aware of it and make it clear to them right up front. I mean, when I was a student at a Catholic high school in the area, I don't know how it came up, but there was some parent complained that the child was taught the church's teaching on abortion. I know, gasp. This is high school. This is like junior year theology or something like that, where it's completely appropriate to have.
Oh, you mean it's wrong to murder?
Yes,
the
apparently,
baby.
Yeah, that apparently was called into question, and he wrote a letter. I gotta say, and this was one of these schools that has selective enrollment, therefore has a waiting list, an arm long, but said, you know, my job, and this was something Catholic Cardinal George always said, the purpose of Catholic schools is to teach Catholic children the Catholic faith.
Yes.
That is why they exist. The fact that they are academically excellent on top of that, and that they also form kids to be good leaders and responsible citizens, that's sort of icing on the cake. But the reason the school system started was that we could teach our kids the Catholic faith in the context of the school day. To
yes.
teach Catholic kids the Catholic faith. The end. That's the purpose of a Catholic school. So this priest who was the president of the school said, that is the purpose of the school here, to teach Catholic children the Catholic faith. Your children will be taught Catholic sexual morality while they are here. You got a problem with that. I'm paraphrasing now. If you have a problem with that, I have a waiting list a mile long. You are free to remove your child and send them elsewhere. There are plenty of other schools that are private schools, but are also secular. University of Chicago Lab School, for example, or Latin, or Francis Parker, mm-hmm. that are not religious
right.
in grounding nor in formation. You are welcome to pull your kid out of this school and send them there. I'm sure they would be happy to have them. But here, you know, you don't have to believe it, but do not try and undermine what we are teaching in our classes.
Correct. Yeah. And that is...
We need a little more of that.
Because that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. The number of people who don't get that. Like, I don't get why people are so angry about Catholic schools teaching the Catholic faith.
And, you know, Mayor, it just breaks down to something so basic. I go to McDonald's. I order a hamburger. They give me chicken nuggets. I'm
right.
going back to the counter.
Right, of course you are.
And getting what?
And demanding
your hamburger. So here you sign up for Catholic education, and you are just getting, you're just being allowed to twist in the wind.
Right.
With this other agenda that's being thrown at you that you are not paying for and that you did not choose.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sorry. Perhaps they don't believe, I mean, perhaps they genuinely don't believe that it that this extended their decision to reinvoke the or to reengage the contract, that doesn't extend to everything else. They may have believed it, that this is going to be limited to this one employee.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially the message you have sent was that, you know, being diverse and inclusive and welcoming, no matter what a person's doing, we got to be diverse and inclusive. And that is the primary and predominating characteristic by which this school would be known. So we're diverse and inclusive, and it doesn't matter what you're doing if you're diverse, you know. And unfortunately, it does send the message that, you know what, this is not a big deal, that same-sex sexual acts are not sinful. That is the message that it sends, and that entering into a marriage that the church cannot recognize ever, that is not sinful either, and that your public witness doesn't matter. All of these things matter. All of them matter.
That's right.
You know, and I was so heartened by the school's initial decision to revoke her contract, and they would have won had it been litigated. I don't know why. What compelled them to reverse the decision and to reverse it so quickly? I can only imagine it was, it was significant pushback from special interest groups and agitators of all sorts. And I am sympathetic to that. It's hard not to be. I understand that no one wants to be hated and get death threats and, you know, told that they'll get all their financial, you know, benefits cut off. No one wants that. But by the same token, you know, this is wrong. What happened
right.
here was wrong.
And, you know, quite frankly, they could be sued for breach of contract because now they have deviated from what they contractually engaged with parents to do for the
Correct.
Children,
right.
as stated in their own handbook,
right.
where they're saying our job is to teach the Catholic faith.
Right, right.
And now they've said, no, our job is to hire people.
Do you have that? Do you have the handbook pulled up?
I do.
Just, if you
I do.
If you could share with our listeners that particular that particular art or. Do you have it there?
I do. Well, okay. they state in the beginning, maybe like the second page.
Okay.
The mission.
So this is from the school handbook.
This is from the
right.
school handbook
okay.
under mission. The mission is of Bennett Academy as a Catholic Benedictine college preparatory high school to provide a disciplined educational environment that fosters the ongoing religious, intellectual, and social development of all its students. Bennett will have achieved its mission if graduating seniors leave the academy having nurtured their Catholic faith through religious instruction and opportunity for prayer and reflection.
Wow, that sounds pretty Catholic. I mean, that, like, to me as a Catholic parent, and, you know, we're right now trying to decide where one of our eighth graders is going to be going to high school next year.
Right. That's
and
a tough
I have
decision.
To say, well, it is, because it does impact the trajectory of your life,
mm-hmm.
particularly in Chicago, where admission to high school is competitive, and it is, it really does form your child. Now, God can always intervene in anybody's life. It's not the end of the world if they don't get into their first choice of high school. But it is significant in that it really does impact the rest of your life in many ways, you know. And so if you are a parent and you are thinking, okay, I'm going to send my kid, you know, I have spent all of this money on Catholic elementary school. I have taken my child to Mass on every holy day of obligation and every Sunday. We have never missed. I've attempted to make sure that they are getting the best formation possible. And then, you know, you turn around and the school is undermining
Yes.
You know, whether it's doing it directly or indirectly, the school is undermining, you know, all your work as a parent. Again, it's a truth in advertising. I keep
Right.
going back to that phrase, but you cannot, at least do not call yourself a Catholic school if you're not going to live like a Catholic school.
Right.
You know, I think I have every right as a parent to expect that, given what I'm paying. And again, to go back to your point, Loretta, when you live in a suburb like that, let's say you got a 4-bedroom house, you're paying, what, $15,000 a year probably in property taxes, something like that?
You wish.
I mean, I know, you know, I don't live in that kind of Tony area, and I can tell you, I know what I pay. And so to add another 2, 3, 4, depending on the number of children you
yep.
have, you know, I mean, there was one point where we paid $5,000 a month in tuition.
Right.
You know,
and you're not just paying for tuition. You're paying for uniforms.
Correct.
You're paying for the sports. All the things that come with your taxes at the public school, and you are now paying for.
Yep.
I just want to go back to the handbook, because the contract they made with their parents is they've sent them this handbook, and you had to sign it, that
okay.
you received it and sent your signed receipt back.
Oh.
Religious outcomes, having nurtured their Catholic faith through religious instruction and opportunities for prayer and reflection. So they're not even saying specifically Christian.
Wow.
They are identifying Catholic faith. So where is the instruction on homosexual unions? Why is it right that this woman is considered a minister of faith and therefore is subject to dismissal? Where is the instruction pursuant to their own contract?
Right.
And this is a contract they made.
So if this situation is not going to change, and it might not, they're going to have to redo their whole handbook.
Yes. Well,
there you go. Well, that hour flew by. Listeners, thank you for being part of our afternoon and for sharing some of your day with us. Always good to be with all of you. Please count on our prayers for you, and we ask your prayers for us, and we'll see you back here next Monday.
And give Bennett Academy your prayers as well.
That's right.
Those
Loretta,
students
thank you.
And the divisive nature at that school.
Yeah, pray for
Lift
the leadership.
Yes,
yes. That the Lord will bless them.
And those children, they're so impressionable.
Right, exactly. Pray for all involved.
Bless them with Catholic instruction.
Absolutely.
What's
this has been Mary Fiorito and Loretta Fralick sitting in on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on 88.5 FM. and WNDZ on AM 750. Goodbye and have a beautiful week. All right.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.